Morning, and as my wife would say, I'm thrilled about pretty much everything, but I'm especially thrilled to be here this morning and to talk on parenting the younger years, and also just, if I can say, I just love being the children's ministry, now pastor here at Community Bible Church. So I love your kids. I'm thankful to be able to minister to them. I was asked once I became an elder if my passions would kind of change my direction in ministry, and my answer was no way. These kids are the next generation of godly leaders here in Vallejo, in California, and across the world. That's our prayer and that's our desire. And so I'm here to stay. Hope you don't mind. But I recognize that our influence in children's ministry is only part of what God is going to use. The biggest influence is you as parents and what you are pouring into your kids. So I want you to know, though, that part of my role, again, especially now that God has blessed me to be a pastor, is that I want to come alongside not only your children, but alongside you as parents, to encourage and equip you in any way that I can. And that's not just me as the leader of children's ministry, but everyone who serves and leads in our children's ministry department. This is our heart, is to minister to your kids, but also to encourage and equip you. And so just know that in our church, we're so blessed. We have so many different resources, but we're here as well to encourage you. So I hold no special credentials to teach this lesson, other than probably holding the distinction of being the only one outside of my wife of having 6 kids in this age group, of 0 to 12. Anybody else can represent that many? I don't think. So this morning, I really want our time to be collaborative, because we all need help in this area, and I know my wife and I do as well. So this is going to be immensely practical, this lesson. Before we move on to new material, though, what I want to do is just review a little bit of what we've gone on, what we've learned, all the foundational calls to parenting that we've been given. So if you can hit the next slide, Shay. So Kevin started us off by giving us a lesson on our biblical foundation, our goals, our purposes, our vision. We had a lesson on addressing the heart of our children and trusting God to regenerate. And that begins with our hearts being transformed as we become more and more like Christ, more patient, loving, and kind. Then our children are going to be compelled to want to be more like us and more like their Savior. Then we looked at God's design for children obeying and honoring their authorities. Thomas and Todd did great jobs of outlining the call to discipline and instruct our children. Listen to one verse that just hit me like a ton of bricks as a parent. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. It says, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." So it's as simple as this. Do you love your child? Then you'll discipline them. But if you hate them, then you won't. It's almost like God knew he had to use such strong language because he knew how difficult it is for us to discipline our children, isn't it? Love versus hate. And then we had lessons on teaching biblical masculinity and femininity. What kind of men do we want leading this church 20 years from now? And what pressures do our young ladies have by the culture and their peers? Pressure to look a certain way and do a certain thing. And so if you did hear these lessons, my challenge to you is, are you living it out? Are you following the call that God's given you? And if you haven't, then I wanted you to know that these sessions are online. So Shay, can you help us to check these out online? I know I've had many people, I've told them that these sessions are online and they've looked and haven't been able to find them. So I just wanted to make sure there's no excuses. CBC, go to ministries, adult training, And if you look under the resources, ATS resources, you click there. Parenting as Christ Ambassadors. Or if you need help on your marriage, we all do, that's there as well. And voila. So again, it's not in our regular sermon archive area. You have to kind of, find it. But I would encourage you to take advantage of these being available. They're there. Only one, Thomas, yours isn't there yet from last week. So we will work on getting that there. So with that, which leads to today, I just want to stop, if you don't mind, and just pray that the Lord would open our eyes. I mean, even me, of hearing these lessons, again, the conviction of, are we just hearers of the word or are we doers? So let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed at this church. Blessed to have so many opportunities to hear your word. But Lord, where there's hearing, Lord, there's also responsibility. Your word is clear. You don't want us just to be filled with head knowledge. Lord, you want us to act on what you've called us to do. And so, Father, I want to confess, Lord, that at times I haven't followed through with what you've called. Lord, it's hard to discipline my children. It's hard to lead them at times. Lord, it's hard to keep my goals in front of me when I'm tired at the end of the day with my kids, and I just want to have some alone time. Father, would you help us to take the truths that we've heard and apply them? And use this morning, Lord, as we look at more practical areas, Lord, would you help us to apply these things into our lives? Give us open minds to hear maybe things for the first time and to receive them. And Lord, ultimately, may you be glorified as we raise the next generation for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the bulk of the rest of the lesson is going to be how to look at these foundational principles of parenting and apply them to the 0 to 12-year-olds. You can head to the next slide, please. And we will do this, like I said, by sharing together about our experiences and how we can practically apply these things. So turn with to the second page of your handout so you can get an idea of some of the things that we're going to do. Children, like parents, are called to do certain things. You can head to the next slide, please. We as parents are responsible to help them grow and mature in these areas. So we're going to talk about how to do these in specific ages of their lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to think together about some of these key verses. I put one up there for you in each section. So we're going to think about these key verses that would apply. So if you think about the means of grace, the word of knowing the word of God, prayer, fellowship, this is what we want for our kids to know and experience. We want them to know the word. We want them to be praying people. We want our kids to fellowship. And so what verses would help us to drive that into their lives? And then what we'll do is look at what ways can we practically apply that in their specific age groups. So one word of caution as we proceed, as we discuss practical ways to apply the truth, sometimes I think what we need to do is remember that there's a distinction between biblical authoritative declaration. So thus saith the Lord. As we look at these lists, Acts 2:42, Colossians 4:5, those are thus saith the Lord. But then also we're going to talk about some practical areas of wisdom. Some ways to apply some of these truths. So an example from today, you can hit the next slide, is Ephesians 5. Somebody turn there with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. And if you had that handout, you see that that's the key verse that I had on that middle section. So somebody read that for me. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. So the biblical authoritative declaration from the Word of God is don't waste your time. We could say, simply sum it up in that way. So some looking at that chart might prayerfully, with wisdom, decide in their home, in that 0 to 3 year old area, that that idea of not wasting their time would mean with their newborn baby that they're not going to demand feed, but they're going to schedule feed. Now that, those may be new terms for you. Basically, they're going to schedule out the times that they're going to feed their baby. So they're not going to just anytime their baby cries or it's convenient feed their baby, but they're going to choose the specific times when they're going to feed their baby. And they believe that this is going to allow them to maximally follow the command of Ephesians 5 to not waste their time and to start building a foundation of how to apply the principles of Scripture. And this may sound crazy to you, right? So you need to evaluate the counsel that's offered. You need to evaluate it based on the person that gives it to you and based on the truth, biblical truth. But we as individuals need to be willing to consider counsel as it's given, but also understand that if we're the one giving the counsel and someone else doesn't take it, that it isn't necessarily biblical authoritative truth. So what do the Proverbs say about receiving counsel? Turn to the next slide. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. So when you receive counsel, are you receiving it? Or are you thinking that you have it all figured out? Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So the point that I'm trying to bring out is we're going to bring up some things in these different age groups that, again, may be different from you, and they're not necessarily biblical authoritative truth, but are you willing to receive counsel? We should come with humility, willing to learn and grow from things that, again, may be different than what you're used to. And if there's any areas that we're unsure about, then in the abundance of counselors, there's safety and plans succeed, as you can see from those texts. So with that being said, what we're going to do next, you can hit to the next slide, is dig in a little bit more deeply with a multitude of counselors, with your help, to see how we can succeed in parenting in these ages. Since we already looked at the first middle heading, what we're going to do is I'm going to have you guys break up into small groups of probably 5 or 6 and work through first trying to figure out some more key verses, 1 or 2, about redeeming the time. What do you see in the Scripture about using our time wisely? What do you see in the Scripture about serving? And then once you have a few of those texts down, to think about ways that you can start teaching your children to redeeming the time, even from 0 to 3. And then from the next age group, 4 to 6. And then the next age group, 7 to 12. And so just the next slide, a little refresher if you've forgotten what those age groups look like. Those are some sweet little 0 to 3 year olds. You can hit the next one. Some 4 to 6 year olds. And some 7 to 12 year olds. So these are the age groups that we're looking for. So go ahead and break up into individual groups. Again, you're going to look for a couple of key verses, and then think of ways that you can practically apply those key verses in these age groups. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to work on this to start. So hopefully you're past the verses and you're on to the practical application start part now. Okay. The verses is the easy part. Yeah. All right, so you may not have gotten through everything, and that's okay, but go ahead and just turn. You guys are going to be in groups again, so you don't need to go completely back to your seats. So let's hear just a couple of key verses that you guys came up with. And if you don't mind, if reading the key verse as well. So if anybody just wants to share a couple of key verses, and remember we're on the middle section, redeeming the time. Get the next slide. So any verses besides Ephesians 5? Thank you. So that's just such an easy one for our kids even to see, right? That idea of God's helping them to see an ant, right? Look at the ant. It's not lazy. It's active. It's working. And so God in his kindness has given us a specific verse that really is easy to help our kids to understand. How about another verse? Amen. And so service, right? This is another. So there's redeeming the time and teaching our kids to serve. So not being a sluggard, what's the opposite? What should we be doing instead of doing our own thing? Is God wants us to be servants. Good. Oh, sorry. 1 Peter 4:10. And then we had Proverbs 6:6-11. Good. Okay. All right. How about some areas where you could apply that for a 0 to 3-year-old? So I gave one example, kind of controversial one at the beginning, of the schedule feeding versus demand feeding. So that's one area where you could apply these principles in your home with a 0 to 3-year-old. What are some other ways that you could apply this? Good. Good. So you're helping them to learn the biblical principle of redeeming their time by getting them in a regular routine, a regular bedtime, regular nap time. Good. Anything else? Right. Yeah, teaching them at a young age to serve. And I mean, kids love to help, right? 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, they love to help. I mean, it's just amazing to see our 1.5-year-old helping to put the silverware away. Of course, we remove all the knives. But he loves to help, and he loves to be encouraged about helping. And it can start way younger than you probably think. You just have to be a little bit creative of thinking of what are ways that I can help my children to learn to serve. Any other things? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. So as much as schedule and routine can be a helpful thing, does the schedule and routine keep you from doing what else God has called you to do? To be at church on Sunday night, to come to home fellowship group, that we're not, our desire is not to have a child-centered home. Our home is about living for Christ. And your child is a part of that, but it's not all about your children. Good. How about the 4 through 6-year-old age group? Anybody get there? Yes, Thomas. Right. Good. Yeah, there's a lot out there already, isn't there? Just at that youngest age group. And really what you're showing them is what you prioritize. What is it that's most important to you? You know, and it doesn't matter if it's sports, if it's getting ready for schooling, public school, Christian school, homeschool, it doesn't matter. That we can easily get all about education, all about sports. Or on the other hand, we can just let them do their own thing and not even prepare them for what's coming. So redeeming the time in that age group is having a healthy balance of helping them to get ready for what's coming, but also not overemphasizing things that aren't priorities or should be priorities in our lives. Good. Anything else? Yeah, that's perfect. So he said, having the older children help to serve the younger children. And I think that one of the things we need to do with that is help to teach our children while we're helping them to do that. That we're not just having you work because we don't want to work. This is a privilege that you get to serve, of taking them back to some of those scripture passages that Jesus himself, the King of Kings, he came not to be served, but to serve. And so we get to follow in his lead and serve also. So this is a good thing. This is a blessing God's given you, younger siblings, that you can help, that you can serve. So helping them to understand these biblical principles, yes. Right. Yes. They are sponges, and the more that we can fill them with truth, the more that that's going to come out. So good. I mean, lots of other things, you know, kids this age, they can start helping in so many areas, folding laundry, teaching them self-control. But don't forget also to spend time with them. Just have fun together. Start building a relationship with your children, because we can get distracted as parents doing our own thing as well. How about for the next age group? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Billy said that we can involve them in ministry with us. And that's something that we started just recently in children's ministry, that we want you to bring your fourth graders and fifth graders and sixth graders to serve with you, those younger age groups, so they can experience serving. We're going to do summer of service again for your kids, so they get an opportunity to serve in children's ministry when they're younger. But also, like Billy said, of bringing them to ministry, redeem the time so that they can be equipped here. Anything else before we move on to the next area? Good. So the priority of the word, yes. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to head to the next section. So I'm going to have you guys go ahead and work on the one on the left, the means of grace, word of God, prayer, fellowship. So this would be easy. You could spend 15 minutes finding verses. Just choose one or two verses and then really get into the practical application point. So don't spend too much time on the verses. So on the left side, practical ways that you can get your kids in the word of God, that you can help train your kids to start praying, and that you can encourage them to be with other Christians. That's what we're called to do, is to be together. So one or two verses, and then spend a good 5 minutes working on practically applying these in the different ages of life. All right, let's go ahead and talk about, so just a couple of verses that you guys came up with for this section. So we're on the section on the left, the means of grace. So any verses? All of Psalm 119. Very good. Amen. So Psalm 119, specifically 9 through 11, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? Good. Yes. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Right? How many of our kids need wisdom? So let's teach them to ask, not just their friends, but their Savior. Good. One more. Oh, sorry, Billy. 2 Timothy 3:15. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15. And from childhood you have learned these things. Good. So what are some practical ways that we can apply this in 0 to 3-year-olds? Some of these simple things, Mara just said, praying during meal times, thinking through that these things are formative in the lives of our children, that we thank God for our daily bread. What else? Yeah, reading through a children's Bible. You're probably not going to read the book of Revelation, right, in your family worship time, but reading a children's Bible is helpful and in those scheduled times that they know this is a part of, we prioritize the Word of God, right? Yes. Yeah, so the idea is when you're, even as a mom, when you're ready for your nap time, that and you're, it's time for you to read, that you have your kids come alongside and read with you. I think one of the biggest things is we want to show them that we value the Word. We want them to see that we are regularly in the Word, that this is a priority in our lives, that when they wake up from bed in the morning and they come and snuggle with us on the couch, that we're in the Word, that this is who we are, this is what we value, this is who, what we prioritize, this is who we are. And then prayer, right? Model it for them. Let them see you pray. I read a lot of Puritans preparing for this. One said, prayer is the simplest means in coming to God. It is within reach of all. This, remember, is the first effort towards Christ, which a child is able to take. Long before he can read, he can be taught to repeat simple words of prayer and praise which the parent puts in his mouth. Yes. Amen. Encouraging them to sing, singing with them, so they have that joyful thing, tune in their voice, in their hearts. The other thing that I would encourage you is you need to be nourished as well during this time. 0 to 3 years old is a draining time. So are you taking advantage of the means of grace we have? Are you taking advantage of the nursery that we have available? You need to be fed. You need to be built up. We have these things available so that you can be fed and built up as well. How about the 4 to 6 year old age? Yeah. So Billy's saying teaching them to pray, allowing them to start praying more, continuing to model it, but allowing them to take more initiative in this. Good. What else? Good. Yes. Start memorizing the Word of God. We as the church are providing you with opportunities to help you with that. And it's not because we want to put this yoke on you as parents of one more thing that you have to do, but the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more that they're hearing the Word of God, is as they meditate on it, as they repeat it, God can use that for their salvation. So yes, yeah. No, that's really good. So there's two things with that. One is for you as the mom to be encouraged. But then two, I think the thing that we often forget is just let the kids go play. But are you being purposeful in teaching your children on the way to that neighbor's, that friend's house? That this is an opportunity for us to share. This is an opportunity for us to do good to others. This is an opportunity for you to serve your neighbor friend. And God's given us the blessing of friends. Yeah. Yeah. So we're just sharing about the blessing of making sure we prioritize other Christians. But then also, if it is unbelievers, it's another opportunity to share. This is why we're different. And this is why we're not judging this other family or child for the way they acted. But it's a way that we can show compassion and love. How about the older age group, 7 to 12? Amen. Yes. The ministries that we have available at this church to help encourage these means of grace. As I was thinking about this age range, a lot of times when we think of discipleship, we think of it starting in youth ministry. Is that pretty true? It starts there. Once they get to junior high or high school, then they'll have a discipler. Can I just challenge you, parents, that discipleship starts with you? And you don't have to wait for your kid to be saved to start discipling them? That discipleship is walking them through a spectrum. Our desire is for them to be saved, but we disciple people even before they're saved. We're working towards the goal of them being saved and becoming mature in Christ. So start discipling them. I can't tell you how joyful it's been to go through basic discipleship with my 11-year-old. It's a joy to walk through these things together, to spend time teaching our kids how to pray by going through Bible curriculum. I have some resources at the end that could help you. Help them develop their prayer life. All these things that ask them about their relationships. Ask them more deeper questions, not just what you learned at church, right? That's the earlier age of what was the story about, but how are you going to apply this? It's more relational now. It's more practical into their everyday lives. So I want to get to this last section. Let's go ahead just for 5 minutes. So I'm going to ask you guys something that's a CBC never happened before. Don't look at any scripture verses. Just do go to the practical, because I didn't tell you, but I actually have a filled out form of these for you guys that I'm going to send you home with as well. So don't feel like you're getting cheated by not looking up some verses. So the last section on the right, go ahead, again, skip the verses. You know them, and I'll give you some. Just go right to the practical. 0-3, 4-6, 7-12. All right. I hear a lot of laughing. I think we need to rally together here. All right, so like I said, I'm going to give you a cheat sheet at the end. I have, this is, as I said, not authoritative declaration. These are some practical ways that you can consider. So I'll give you these in a little bit. Don't leave without it. So it'll have all the verses that I came up with and, again, some practical applications. So even though we don't have all the verses up, you will have some. So what did you guys come up with, though, for 0-3-year-olds in this category? Consistent, yes. That goes for everybody. All the age ranges, that's good, that's true. Ryan? Good. First time obedience. As I was just thinking of kind of titling, that's what, God is the boss. I mean, ultimately, that's one of the lessons we have in the nursery that your kids are getting for a month, is God is the boss. You're not the boss. And how many times I'm telling my kids that over and over, they're not the boss. What else? Yes. Discipline starts early. And can I just challenge you in another way, that it's probably a lot earlier than you think? There's no specific age in the scriptures, but when your children, you know. Don't pretend like you don't know. If you have children, you know when they know what's going on. So discipline them early so that they understand that there's a direction that they're heading and it's the wrong way. It's always in love. That's the thing. Yes. I had a nonverbal 16-month-old. He knows. They know. They know. They know. Yeah. Oh. And I just want to read you one verse. Colossians 3:20. I'm thankful for the brothers. I had a whole lesson pretty much just on this verse. You guys were going to get hammered. And they said, no, do something different. So I listened. Children, be obedient to your parents. And this is what I had like 10 pages of notes on. In all things. In all things. Everything, our children are to be obedient. Do we get that as parents? So maybe ask, is them eating peas that important? Well, it is to God. Is when they say, no, I want to wear this jacket and not that jacket. Is that important to God? If you've told them to wear that jacket, they need to obey in everything. When you tell them to come and they have that cute little smile and then run the other way, is that important to God? In everything. God's calls, we know in Scripture, are clear. This is biblical authoritative declaration. This isn't my counsel. God says, your children need to obey in everything. Yes. Yes. Right away, all the way, with a happy heart. In your handout, I need to clarify this. My wife let me know. I wrote down, don't allow them to make choices in this age range. Isn't it easy just to let them kind of decide what they want to do, when they want to do it? J.C. Ryle says this, my friends, what I suggest to you is greatly needed. You will see many in this day who allow their children to choose and think for themselves long before they are able, and even make excuses for their disobedience as if they were not to be blamed for it. In my eyes, a parent who is always yielding and a child who always has its own way are a most painful sight. Painful because I see God's appointed order of things inverted and turned upside down. Painful because I feel sure the consequence to that child's character in the end will be self-will, pride, and conceit. Is it any wonder that men refuse to obey their Father who is in heaven if you allow them, when children, to disobey their Father who is on earth? It's important, the foundations that we lay when our children are young. Briefly, the 4 to 6-year-old age range. Any thoughts you guys had for that? Yeah. Yes. Yes, encouraging them that there's the discipline and the instruction. And when they follow your instruction, encourage them, build them up. Good. Any other thoughts? Yeah. 4 to 6, yeah. Yes. So teaching them to honor God no matter which avenue that they're in, but then also being aware that pride can easily build up in our children. And so that's where that the next stage is, kind of what Jalea said, is making sure it's not just the actions, but what does God care about is the heart, the attitude. And so I think at this age range, a lot of times we're starting to see that creep up more and more is those, and then the 7 to 12-year-olds, is they may obey, but how are they obeying, right? And we as parents need to address that just as much as, well, they obeyed, right? But the door slammed. Is that the kind of obedience that God requires? So good. One last thing that I just want to go over really briefly is just how the church and helps you with this. And I think it should become really clearly obvious is all of these areas, we as the church are on your side. We want to encourage you in this area. We're not in competition. We're not against each other. We are providing resources for your benefit. We're a family. We want to help you. And so we would encourage you to take up every means of grace. Bring your kids to Sunday school. Bring your kids to the worship service. Bring your kids to Wednesday night. Because as a parent, I know, you know, we need all the help we can get in this. Use the scripture memory we have, right? Use the handouts. They're not just paper airplanes. They're means of grace that you can take and use to review with your child. I mean, think about on a Sunday afternoon, sitting on the couch with your 3-year-old and going over their little lesson for 2 minutes. Then you can throw it away. We don't care, but people are pouring into your kids. Are you pouring into them as well? Take up the means of grace that God's given you. I'm thankful for this church. I hope you guys are. God has blessed us with so much. Let's just give him thanks one more time. Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Thank you for children. They are truly a blessing from you. Lord, forgive us for the times that we get so tired and worn out, that we forget our goals. Help us to see our kids 20 years from now and what we want them to be by your grace. Kids who love you, who are following you, who are serving you, who are way more faithful and disciplined and self-controlled than we are, Lord. Lord, we want them to go beyond us in all these areas, and so help us to be diligent to teach them while they're young. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.